Hello and welcome to the Fetch a Murder File. Subsidiary of launching the pilot, I guess, because we've had a little bit of a break from launching the pilot, and this gives me time to do another Fetch a Murder Files. And this one's only episode 5. Lovers and Other Killers. Oh, this is a strange little episode. There's first thing I noticed straight away was in the opening that there's some extra clips in there that aren't usually in it, and they're from this episode. So it begins with someone burglaring a house. They're going through the drawers. They're about to do the safe, but then a woman enters, and he goes and hides. And she goes to make a phone call. She's phoning someone. They're not answering. It, and she's all, damn it, they're not answering. And then she noticed that the place has been ransacked slightly. And she goes and finds a musical box, and she's trying to get it to work. It's not working right. And while she's doing this, the burglary guy comes in over her, strangles her. And that's the first scene. That then we're off at the airport. And it's Jim Phelps. Is at the airport waiting for Jessica to land, but she's not anywhere. Where is she? He's lost her. He's lost Jessica already. And he's only been in it like 2 seconds, but it turns out she was just delayed, and she comes out holding a baby. Yeah, okay. And he goes, you said you might be bringing someone else with you, but I didn't realise it's a... He goes, no. It's not my baby. It's a Chinese baby who belongs to two nuns. And she speaks Chinese to them, and yeah. And it turns out he's the dean of a university, and he wants just to speak there for him. So, and she said, yes, I was going to bring my publicist with me, but she can't come at the moment. And so then we're back at the university, and then we're introduced to Amelia, who is the dean's secretary, and she's going to say, I'm happy to help you, Jess. I'm happy to be a secretarial dude for you. And she said, no, you're far too busy. And she goes, I'll put a note up, and some undergrad will jump in and help, I'm sure. And while this is happening, we get a little bit of the secretary, Amelia, is saying to the dean, oh, look at this spending you've done. You've just bought yourself a raft. For what reason? And he goes, oh, it doesn't matter. She goes, and he says to her, oh, there you go, acting again like my wife. And there's a knowing look sort of between the secretary and Jessica. And the secretary's a little bit blushing, like, oh, yes, I would like that job of being his wife. I mean, and then we're outside. There's a huge water fountain. Don't know, it's not relevant. The water fountain didn't do anything, it's just in the background, it's big. It looks like they actually filmed this one though in like Seattle, where it's supposed to be based. Anyway, she's saying to you know your secretary's in love with you, don't you? He goes, no, she's not, no. And they have a talk about the old days of them together and how they all knew Frank, and Frank was Jessica's husband. And how the dean said, oh, you chose the wrong guy. And she goes, oh, Frank used to say that too sometimes. Then we're back in, it's night time, and Jessica's getting ready for bed, so it's quite late. And there's a knock at the door, and she opens, and she's got the chain on, and yeah, and it's a man. David Tolliver, he says, oh, I'm looking about being your secretary. As an undergrad, but I wanted to be keen. I wanted the first one to get in the job, because I know everybody's going to want this job. And she says, well, you're a little... It goes, wrong sex? Please don't hold that against me. And, you know, obviously, men find it hard to get jobs in this world. I suppose as secretaries, as maybe. I don't know. And she lets him in. And he demonstrates his skills at typing and dictating. And she says, oh, well, yeah, you seem to...
I'm here from the university.
About the job.
Oh!
David Tolliver, Mrs. Fletcher. May I come in?
No. I mean, actually, I was expecting...
Someone in a skirt?
Oh, surely, Mrs. Fletcher, you're not going to hold my gender against me.
He charms her, basically. He charms her, and she gives him the job. Then we cut to the next day, and Jessica's doing the lecture, and she's... I'm not sure what the lecture is about, but she's doing all the acting and voices and stuff. And, you only get to see a couple of minutes of it. I'm sure it's a big success. Then we have the English professor going up to her. And she says, oh, I thought you... Obviously, I figured you were too old for a student. And he goes, yes, I'm the English teacher here. Me and my wife just love your books. And it's a short scene, but it's just set up this character, I guess. And there's a little knowing glance between him and a young student, lady student. And Jessica notices this of course she would. And when the dean, Jim Phelps, is not Jim Phelps, but he's Mr. Impossible guy. It's Jim Phelps. And Jessica sort of, oh, do you think that young lady is his wife? And he goes, what? Like, he's got no idea what's going on. And she goes, oh, never mind. Now, back at the hotel room, David Tolliver has finished, great name, David Tolliver, has finished doing the writing, and he's just sitting there reading one of Jessica's books. And he says, don't worry, I'm not on the clock. I took myself off the clock ages ago. I'm already done. And she goes, oh. And he goes, How about some dinner? And she goes, oh, I'm not into pizza and beer. And he said, well, I think it's more of Chateau Briand for two. And she goes, well, you couldn't afford that. He goes, no, I couldn't, but you could. And then, whoop, they're out at dinner. Well, look. And he's on about how he enjoys the company of Jessica, how he doesn't feel as engaged with women of his own age, and... We get this, and she goes, well, then she goes, well, let me pay for dinner. And she goes, I can't have a starving young undergrad paying for this dinner. And he goes, who said I was starving? He goes, I was joking about you paying. Oh, I want to pay. And she goes, no, I'll pay. And of course, Jessica pays. And she just notices that he has a wad of cash because he pays for the car guy, valet. That's what they're called. And she says, oh, that's a rather nice car you have. I mean, obviously, they must have travelled to the restaurant in the car, but she only now mentions that it's a nice car. He goes, yeah. And just as that, Barney comes up, Detective Barney. He's not called Detective Barney, but he's also Barney from Mission Impossible. So two Mission Impossible people in this. And in all my notes, I've referred to him as Barney, because that's who he played, is Barney. He's forever Barney. And he goes, I have some questions for you about the murder of Alison Brie. I think it's Brie. My writing's really bad. And he goes, what? He goes, we could make this questions or I could arrest you. Then we cut to them, Jessica and him walking out of the police station. It's 2 hours later. And he was saying to Jessica, oh, it's just routine. It's just routine questions. They're just talking to anyone who knew her. You know, I'm no more a suspect than anyone else. As they pull away, though, Jessica notices there's a car following them. And the next day, Jess goes to Detective Barney. It's not Barney, but he is Barney. And she says, and she finds him at his coffee shop where he is. And she goes, David Tolliver told me this was just a routine questions. He goes, oh, I told you that, did he? In that sort of manner. And he says, look. And Jessica says, well, obviously I knew you don't put surveillance on everyone who you questioned, otherwise you'd run out of police cars. And because she worked out it was a surveillance that was following them. And he goes, look, just stay away from David. He's bad news. And she goes, oh, I don't think he's a killer, Jessica says. She's already got this. And he goes, she goes, if you've got no evidence against him, there's nothing to link him with the murder or anything. And he goes, look, he knew her and they'd been seeing each other for quite a while.
It's Mrs. Felser?
Sure. David said the questioning last night was merely routine.
He said that?
Of course it wasn't. If you put a surveillance on every casual suspect, you'd soon run out of those black unmarked cars, wouldn't you, Lieutenant?
You look like a nice lady. Let me give you a piece of advice. Stay away from that guy.
I'm sorry, you'll have to be clearer.
I admit he's a nice-looking guy. And I'm sure for a woman like you that kind of attention is very flattering.
Just a moment. You think that David and I've been in the city for 2 days, and I hired that young man as a secretary. I hardly know him. But notwithstanding, I still don't think that he is a killer.
And David had earlier said that he didn't really know her that well. But obviously he did. When Jessica goes back to her hotel room, David is already in the room, and she notices that a briefcase she had on the settee is one of the latches is open on it. Ah, she goes, you didn't go through my briefcase, did you? He goes, no, it wasn't me. He goes, I just wanted to get an early start, and you know the maid let me in. She knew I worked for you, and she goes, this isn't right. You shouldn't be in here. You shouldn't let yourself in. Please don't do this again. And she says, maybe we should call off today. I don't really think it's right. He goes, what about tomorrow? And she goes, I'm not sure. He goes, well, maybe I should ring tomorrow. And she goes, yes, maybe you should. And she goes, don't let yourself in again. He goes, I won't. It's a fair cop, Jess. Now, when Jessica and the Dean chat, and he's on about David Tulliver, and he says... And Jessica says, I don't see him as a murderer. He may be a bit of a tall tale teller or, you know, a bit of a con man, maybe. But he's no killer. And the Dean's saying, well, you're too trusting, Jessica. Later on, Jessica receives a phone call.
But I'm a Fred Hollander, and I can prove he didn't kill that woman.
Who is this?
My name's not important.
Well, it is to me if I'm going to...
Hey, lady, just shut up and listen. I'm taking a hell of a chance just making this call. We have to meet.
Well, you know where I'm staying.
There's an abandoned warehouse down by the docks, number 33. I'll meet you there at 10 o'clock tonight.
Look, whoever you are, I have no intention
of meeting you anywhere.
From a young lady. And it's the same young lady as we saw earlier waving at the... English professor, but obviously it's a voice on the phone to Jessica. She doesn't know it's the same lady. Saying, look, David didn't do it. I've got an alibi. He's got an alibi. You need to meet me at this abandoned warehouse by the docks, because that's where you'd go. She goes, unless this young lady gets off the phone, because you see her where she is, it appears to be her ex-husband, still married, but she wants to be an ex. And he's a bit rough with her, holding her, grabbing her. He says, look, we can work it out. We can work it out. And she goes, no, we can't. We can't work it out. Just leave me alone. And that's sort of that scene. Now, Jess goes to the dock of the bay, to this abandoned warehouse, which obviously, like all abandoned warehouses, just left open, with all the equipment still inside, like fork trucks and stuff. And for some reason, lots of empty boxes. Because that's where you store your empty boxes in a warehouse. But as she gets there, she notices the young lady's come staggering out from behind some of these empty boxes. And she falls to the floor and she's been stabbed in the back. Oh, no. Obviously, Jess notifies the authorities. And Detective Barney is there once more. And asks her, did you see or hear anything, Jess? And she says, I didn't. And he goes, oh, where was David during this time, I wonder? And she goes, why would he kill the person who says he's got an alibi? That makes no sense. He goes, it's just clever enough to have worked that out. Maybe he didn't have an alibi and it's a double bluff or something, but it doesn't matter. The surveillance people have put David at his flat apartment all night and he hasn't left. So he couldn't have been the one to do it. Now, when... they got David at the precinct and they're questioning him about this, and he says, look, it's Jack. Jack probably killed her. He's so jealous, and he said he'd said to me, he didn't write it down, but he said to me, he said, look, if I can't have you, no one else can. Now we have a little bit in the Dean's office, and Amelia, the dean's secretary, is a bit off with Jess. There's something not quite right. And Jess works this, because Jess is clever, she works it out. And she goes, look, I'm not interested in the dean. We're not in the relationship interested at all. We're just old friends. She goes, I'm not a threat or a rival to you. And with that, the secretary relaxes a bit more and is a bit more friendly towards her. And they have a little discussion how Dean doesn't see this. And she says, I'm sorry about David, you know. And she goes, well, I don't think he's a killer. You know, I don't think he is the killer. Then we have Jessica goes to the swimming pool because Jack is swimming there. I don't know how she knows this. She probably asked around the canvas. And he goes, oh, you're the murder lady. And she goes, oh, I've never had it put that way before. But yes. And he doesn't seem very upset about his wife. And he's just, oh, I just got to move on, ain't ya? It happened. You know, she's dead. And he goes, I hope you're not going to try and turn that into a novel. And she goes, no. No, and Jessica saying, I think you're a little bit more upset than you're letting on. Is it about David, who, you know, seeing your ex-wife? And he goes, no, there was nothing there. There was nothing there. They were just friends, that was all. There was someone else. And she goes, by the way, aren't you, he goes to Jessica, by the way, aren't you late for your lecture? And she goes, oh, yes, I am. And she rushes off to her lecture. And as she starts the lecture, she says, oh, let's do things a little bit differently. And she puts out, you know, what if a young lady was murdered, but it could be this suspect or that suspect? And then she owns in on the English professor saying, what if he was a married man? What would his alibi be? He goes, well, maybe he was with his wife all night. And she goes, would that wife lie for him? And he goes, well, maybe. So that's sort of that scene. This professor is just a red herring. He's not in it enough to be the killer. I was figuring there's no way he's the killer. He's got two scenes, none of which are that great. Now, when Jess goes back to the hotel, there's a post-it note on the fridge. And it says, the English professor guy, Lowry, he's got something he urgently needs to talk about you. To you about, and I thought, oh, Lowry's probably about the matchstick bin and dogs and things, kids kissing on the corner of the street with their sparking clogs or whatever. But no, apparently, it's none of them things. But he wants to meet her, and so she goes off to the meeting, but it's a bit dark and dingy, and there's stairs, and there's someone. And so she gets out her mace. I've never seen her carry a weapon before, but she's got some mace. And as she's going around, someone pushes her down the stairs. Now, apparently, she didn't use any stunt doubles for this. Clearly, this is a stunt double, though. Clearly, it is not her rolling down the stairs. But then, suddenly, she hears a voice, and it's all blurry. She's going, it fading in and out of consciousness. Just rolled down a number of stairs. And it's David, and David's there, and he says, and then next thing, she's in an ambulance, they're looking after her, and they're thinking that he pushed her down the stairs, but why? Why would he push her down the stairs? And he goes, he saw the note, he had to pop out, but when he came back, he realised Jessica weren't there, so he thought he'd better go and see if she's all right, because he weren't sure about this meeting and stuff, and that's how he found her. And the dean's there at the hospital as well, and he's coming. He said, oh, don't believe a word of this David Tolliver. He can't have been with, is it Lydia? I think it might be Lydia. Let's call it Lila, Lydia, whoever she was, the girl who was killed. He goes, there's no way he was with her all night because she was with me. Da 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 da.
Jessica, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
What happened?
Someone attacked her on the third floor of the English building.
Someone? Why don't you stop lying? I think we know who was responsible.
Well, Dr. Gerard, it wasn't me. I swear.
Swear what? That you're telling the truth? Just the way you were telling the truth when you said Lila was with you the night Alison Brevard died?
Well, she was with me.
No, young man, she was not with you. Because that night she was with me.
Mr. Phelps. Oh. And he goes And he goes, look, I just want to... And later, him and Jessica are having a lunch. Space Needle in the background. Seattle, you know, it's there. And he says, look, she was a bit desperate. She wanted a job, so I put her in contact with the English professor, Lowry. And then they had an affair, but he was a bit stalkerish and he wouldn't leave her alone. So she come to me. Then we had an affair. She was having affairs here, there and everywhere. And then he pays for the lunch with his... it's like a MasterCard, but not quite a MasterCard. And Jessica notices everything. And he goes, look, we went to the Lumberjack Inn, which sounds like a lovely place. We're off campus, no one would know we were there. He goes, but a strange thing happened on the way back. A car almost hit us. And it was like, and Lila said it was nothing. It's because she was so worried about her husband, Jack, that she'd been looking out, and she knows they weren't followed at all, ever. Just thinking as well, maybe this is Lowry then who's done it. All he knew, that it was a blue-black car. Jess is back at the uni, and she's in the lecture hall, and she's chatting to Professor Lowry, and he says, look, Jess, I'm sorry about yesterday. He goes, look, you made me think that really... I shouldn't be going out with these young girls. I want to try again with my wife. We're going to try and build something back up together. We're going away for the weekend, you know, to try and reconnect. And she goes, oh, that's wonderful. And she goes, oh, by the way, I think someone hit your car. I didn't get the number plate, but they hit that blue-black sedan out in the front. And he goes, oh no, my wife dropped me off. We have a yellow... station wagon. And she goes, oh, well, never mind then. So she's trying to pin down the car. It wasn't his car. Oh, yes. Then while they're... I forgot this bit. While they're at the restaurant, or not the restaurant, other than a cafe or whatever, the dean gets a call, and it's from Barney, Detective Barney. They found the killer of this... of the original woman. Was it Addison Bree? It was a free time loser. They found the they found her valuables. Then they got the fence to say who got them, and it turned out that it was a free time loser guy, and he confessed to everything. And so David's off the hook. So then Jessica goes back to the hotel room. David's there already, and she goes, You let yourself... Why'd you let yourself in? He goes, I needed to thank you for helping me. You know, you believed I was innocent from day one. And she goes, but you let yourself in. And he goes, well, I forgot. I forgot I said I wouldn't do that. And he goes, look, I'm sorry about the note where you went to the building and you got pushed down the stairs. He goes, I'm not sure I'm not sure who the person was. I thought, I've never heard Professor Lowry speak. So, and she goes, oh, wait a minute. You said, you didn't say him or her. You said person. He goes, oh, that's right. Well, I weren't really sure because they were muffling and hiding, trying to disguise their voice. And she goes, now you can see Jessica's starting to pull it all together. Now Jessica goes to see the secretary. And she goes, oh, I've got to find Edmund. The dean's name is Edmund, not Jim Phelps. I've got Edmund here. I did remember it. And she goes, oh, Detective Barney's put out an arrest thing for Edmund. And she goes, what? He's got no alibi. He's got no alibi for when Layla was murdered. He says, what? But I know he didn't do it. You know? And she says, well, apparently they saw his car at the place, at the warehouse, the abandoned warehouse. It's a blue-black sedan. She goes, no, there's loads of them cars. You know, I've got a blue-black sedan myself. She says, oh, have you now? And she goes, oh, you know, and she's putting it together. And Jessica said, well, this is the thing. She's trying to get the confession, really. And she goes, look, Amelia, you know that the dean, Edmund, Jim Phelps, he was seeing Lydia And she goes, no, he wouldn't. And she goes, you know they were seeing to cover. You knew they were at the Lumberjack Inn, that fine establishment. And she goes, I've never heard of it before. He goes, but you're lying, aren't you? I know you know. You pay all of the Dean's bills. You sort his credit cards out and everything. So you knew he was at the Lumberjack Inn. And I think one night you went there and you saw them together and you tried to scare him off of her. And that's why you did the car thing. And she goes, oh. And she goes, you tried to kill me by pushing me down the stairs, making me think it was David. And she goes, I didn't want to kill you. I just wanted to scare you. And I wanted you to believe it was David who was doing it. And she goes, and what about Lydia? And she goes, look, I went to confront Lydia, but she was acting strange. So I followed her to the warehouse and I thought she was going to meet Edmund there. And when I confronted her at the warehouse, she just laughed at me and anger took over and I hit her with a fishing hook thing. And then Edmund, Jim Phelps, Dean, he comes in, he hears all this. He goes, oh no. And I think, oh, but we don't get an arrest bit or anything. I'm guessing she gets arrested.
Dr. Gerard and that girl? His car was spotted outside the warehouse at the time of Lila's killing.
His car? No.
A late model dark blue sedan?
Oh, Jessica, for heaven's sake! It's a common car. I mean, there are a thousand like it in this city. I drive a dark blue car.
Amelia, I know how you feel, and I feel just as shocked as you are. But Lieutenant Andrews is seeing a waiter from the Lumberjack Inn.
Where?
The Lumberjack Inn. You know, it's a small place just out of town. Edmund and Lila have met there several times during the past few months. I'm sure you know it.
No, I don't.
Of course you do.
But I don't. Why would I lie?
Yes. Why would you lie? Because you are lying.
I'm sorry, I just don't understand.
2 weeks ago, you drove out to the Lumberjack Inn because you wanted to spy on him. You drove your blue car recklessly close to Edmund because you wanted to frighten him. You wanted to scare him away from Lila.
Jessica, really, honestly, I've never even heard of the place.
I think you have. You pay Edmund's credit card bills, don't you? Isn't that what you were doing the first time I met you? You made a fuss about some purchase that he'd made. You're the only one who could have known about that place. And it was also you who called my hotel room and disguised your voice and lured me to Lowry's office so that you could, what? Kill me?
I wanted to frighten you, that's all. That's why I dressed in black, to make you think it was David. The police were satisfied that David was guilty and you just wouldn't let it alone. I went to see Lila Tuesday evening to confront her. As I pulled up, she was just leaving. Her action seemed strange, so I followed her and wanted to see what she was up to. I was afraid she might have been meeting Edmund. I followed her into the warehouse. She saw me. She knew why I was there. She laughed. She threatened to tell Edmund. I just lost my temper. I reached for the longshoreman's hook and I just lashed at her. I ran.
Amelia, for God's sake. Why?
Because I love you.
I had no idea.
No. None at all. Even after all these years, even after Gwen died. And then when you started up with...
Amelia, Lila didn't mean anything to me. That was a passing thing. I could have handled it.
Are you sure?
Maybe she doesn't. Maybe they're just this one time. We'll let you off, though, because, you know, she was a bit of a hussy, this Lydia. So, no, don't fail. And then we're cut to the airport, and Jessica's leaving. Just go home. That's it. She's done. I'm done. But then David Tulliver turns up, and he says, oh, I rang the hotel room. They saw you were leaving. I had to come there. I had to get a goodbye, at least. I'll say goodbye. He goes, and I really need to tell you how I feel about you. And she goes, and Jessica's like, no, you don't. I don't want to know. And he goes, but, yeah. And she's, no, not interested. He goes, but I'm attracted to older women. And she goes, no, I don't think so. And he goes, well, at least as friends, can't we at least say goodbye? And she goes, I wish you well and all this. And he goes, and she goes, you never know, you might end up in one of my books. He goes, what, as the hero or the villain? And she goes, I haven't decided yet.
David, I phoned the hotel. I wasn't going to let you get away without a proper thank you.
For what?
Without you, I might have been convicted of murder.
I doubt that.
Jessica, can we stop being merely polite with each other? I think you know by now how I feel about you.
No, I don't. Nor do I want to.
And I'm enormously attracted to you.
The way you were attracted to Alison Brevard?
Look, I didn't lie to you. I can't explain it, but I find myself drawn to mature women, particularly if they're bright and funny.
David, I think this conversation has come to an end.
Why? Because you can't or won't open up to me? Or maybe you think I am lying.
David, I've got a plane to catch.
You know, the only thing I'm guilty of is caring. And I do care very much. Even casual acquaintances find a way to say goodbye.
Goodbye, David. And I do wish you well.
And I you. You know, I was enjoying the writing. You send me a copy of the book when it's finished?
I may do better. You may end up being a character.
And what would I be? A victim? A suspect? Killer?
I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet.
And that's where it ends. And there's no jokey, laughy bit at the end. There's none of that. That's it. Is this guy the hero or the villain? We're not sure. Alison, whatever her name was, killed at the beginning. I was clearly thought this is David's that's done this because it looked very much like him. You can't get away from that jawline. But he had a balaclava and stuff on. And yeah. And we don't know. And it's left a bit open-ended. Is he a bit of a villain? We don't know. Why did this guy confess? We don't know. This feels very strange. And on reading up about this episode, I've learned that this might have been like a second pilot almost. And that's why the tone's slightly different. The intro's slightly different as well, with the extra scenes. And the extra scenes are from this episode. Jessica being pushed downstairs and where she's given the lecture and she pulls out a gun, a demonstration gun with one of the bang guns, you know, the sign falls down saying bang, that sort of gun. But this is the only time I see them clips, I think, that I remember. So it's all left a bit open-ended. And I didn't get this. I'd never seen this one before, you know, because I've watched Murder, She Wrote, but I haven't watched them in any order that I can think of. So randomly, I've seen them, some I've seen, some I haven't, and this one I haven't seen, and well, it's a bit of a weird one. So they've listed it as episode 5, so this could be episode 5. I can't remember how many I've done. Not many, I know that. I'm out of the first season box set, this is the first bit, first two discs they were done. So just racing through the episodes, aren't I? Anyway, I didn't get the killer on this one. I'm not sure. I thought it was. It flies by quite quick, this one, and it's pretty good episode. I think it's definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it, because there's something very unusual about it. And also, it's got two guys from Mission Impossible. You know, what could go wrong? all they needed was a Barbara Bain, a three-time Emmy winning Barbara Bain, and I think this would have been a, you know, 10 stars episode. But never mind. They obviously couldn't afford the Bain. So this is another episode done. While we're on a lull, I thought I'd get this one out. And hope maybe, because I think we've got another week where we're not doing an episode, so maybe I'll try and get do another episode and start a new disc of Murder, She Wrote. Add some things. Of obviously, Jim Phelps is Peter Graves, and Greg Morris is Barney. He was Detective Johnson, maybe, in this. Quite remember. I suppose I could look it up. That might be the way to do it. He was Lieutenant Andrews. There you go. Lieutenant Andrews was Greg Morris. There's very few actual guest stars in this one. It's very strange. One like that. And looking at the trivia on IMDb, which is never wrong on trivia. Never, ever wrong. I can't think of an instance where it's ever been wrong. This was the first regular episode filmed, and it could actually have been a second pilot. And it does state the extra clips in the intro, which I noticed, because you notice things like that. At one point, Jessica, Angela Lansbury, says she's not nearly as famous as Elizabeth Taylor, who Dean says, oh, you're so famous now. And she goes, no, I'm not like Elizabeth Taylor, who she worked with twice, apparently. There you go. And Andrew Stevens, who plays David Tolliver, is the son of actress Stella Stevens and is the ex-husband of Kate Jackson. There you go. It says Angela Lansbury performed her own stunts in this episode for the first and only time without a stunt double. When the killer pushed her down the stairs, she went down backwards and hurt her back. There's no way that was Angela Lansbury falling down the stairs. That was definitely a stunt person because they looked different. So I don't know. I think this is maybe the first time IMDb has got something wrong. Probably should be noted. The typewriter being used in the hotel room by David, Andrew Stevens, brackets, is a Hermes 300 model HP 2-71 model. Yeah, I spotted it straight away. I thought that's definitely a Hermes 3000 model HP 2-71. It was obvious that it was. So they're the IMDb facts, I wish the dog had done it. Okay, that's all. That's it.